Hey, good morning, Northwoods. My name's Hope.
And I'm Janine.
And we are so glad that you are joining us this Sunday morning.
You know what? If you are here for the first time with us, we would love to connect with you. Yep. So just text the word new to the number right there on your screen, and someone's going to reach out to you soon. And for everyone else, go ahead and open up your Northwoods mobile app and fill out your connection card. Ask us any questions you might have. We'd love to help.
Absolutely. You know, we have a really exciting weekend this weekend. You maybe have heard us talk about our partnership with Surge. And one of our big goals and our vision and mission for Northwoods is all wrapped up around this idea of planting churches and being a church that plants churches so that the gospel can be spread further and the freedom and hope that's found in Jesus can be spread throughout not only our region, but also the world. And so today we have church planting leaders from around the globe who are going to be sharing with us, giving us updates, and we're going to hear specifically from one of those, Philip Murdoch. And so this is just a really special weekend to get an update and hear from all of them. But I just wanted to make sure that as they're talking, if you feel moved to participate in Surge and participate in planting churches, it is so easy to do. We were just talking this week that you know, if you want to plant a church, it's about $3,000 for us to plant one church somewhere in the world through Surge, but you can just give $5 towards a crowdfunded church.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and you can set that up to do that monthly, or if it's just one time, you know, God's laid it on your heart to just give maybe $5 or $10, $20, whatever it might be, you can do that just by visiting the link on your screen. And so just as we're hearing from them today, I just encourage you to just be praying about, you know, if and how God wants you to participate in our church planting efforts here at Northwoods.
I think that is so awesome. It's going to be a really cool thing to hear about today. Well, you know, as March is coming up, it's going to be a busy month. It's going to be one of those milestone months in Northwoods history, because it's going to be Pastor Cal's last teaching series.
Yes.
But we have lots of celebrations going on. We're going to have some open houses going on throughout the month where people can come in and have a personal moment with Pastor Cal and his wife, Susan. And we're going to have lots of great things going on during our Sunday services. There will be lots of memories and other activities going on. So be sure to check out everything that we're doing by going to our website. You'll find out all the details about all the different things happening right there on our website.
Yeah, there are some special service times. Again, those open houses you can connect with. And really, it's just going to be a big party. So, you know, we hope that you'll join us for any and all of those weekends in March. And as always, we invite you to join the chat this morning. Say hi. Let us know where you're tuning in from. And I would really love to know who you're watching with. You know, is it you and a friend, or you and a spouse, or maybe you and your whole family? We'd just love to know that. And also, if there's any way we can be praying for you this morning, join us over on Northwoods.online if you're not there already, and click on that request prayer button. Our team would love to pray with you. But for now, I think we're ready to go. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Hey, good morning, church. Let's stand together. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us to pray, "Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." So church, this morning, let's worship the King of Kings. Let's set aside every distraction, whatever fears we're carrying this morning. Let's zero in and let's focus on the one who is worthy today. Come on.
We bring our praise. You bring revival. We lift our hands, you lift our eyes up. Where your love is found, there will be no fear. God, your kingdom come, your will be done here.
Come on, let's sing it out.
On earth as in heaven, Spirit of God, pour out. Our hearts are wide open. Jesus, we need you now. Come have your way in this place. We're almost down. Spirit of God, pour out.
want to sing.
In your presence there is peace. In your presence we are free. There's no better place to be. There's no better place.
Come on, in your presence.
In your presence there is truth. In your presence mountains move.
Yes, Lord.
Forever I'm with you.
Come on, sing it again. In your presence.
You can't. amen, amen. Well, thank you so much, Jesus, for what you've done on the cross. We're so grateful that we have you to run to, God. You know, I just want to invite you this morning, whatever you came in with, whatever burden you have, I need you to cast it at the feet of Jesus this morning, okay? Sing this out. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. Yeah. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. Run to the Father, I'm falling to base, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to
I'm not afraid to die.
praise your name. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. And I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Come on, church, lift your voice this morning. We sing. That's right. Lift your song today. He is the risen Savior. Yes, God. We will sing of your praise forever.
praise your name in this place. Anytime we talk about praising his name, church, I'm always reminded that he has a name for any and every situation we might find ourselves in. In the Bible, he revealed himself as the Lord who is our provider. You need provision today. You cry out to the Lord who is our provider. Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord who provides. If you need healing today, you cry out to the Lord who heals. You're the Lord who heals all of our diseases. You heal bodies. You heal minds. You heal hearts. You heal relationships. We release your healing touch over this place today, Lord. Your name is Victory, Lord. You're Jehovah Nissi. We pray your victory. Lord, you're Jehovah Shalom. We pray your peace over this place, peace over minds, over hearts. Flood this room with your peace today. Lord, I thank you that you're our shepherd. We praise your name, and we were reminded that we lack nothing because you are our shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your guidance. We praise your name in this place. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Great to see everybody. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Excited to be with you again on this Sunday. And for those of you who are new, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwood. So glad to have you here with us. And we would love to connect with you. And so you'll see a number on the screen if you are new that you can text. And someone from our team will be reaching out to you. Just text new to 833-550-1550. And I promise we're not going to reach out to you to harass you. We got a call. I got a call yesterday from someone saying, I think it was from Best Buy, saying I had a $300 credit they'd like to give me. They just need my bank account information. Sure, let me go ahead and do that right away. Let me give you everything. No, listen, we're not going to get any of those type of calls from us. We'll just text you, and we just want to let you know. We just want to know if there's any way that we can resource you here in your journey at North. If there's any questions you have about anything, we just want to be a resource for you here on your journey at Northwoods. And if Northwoods is your home, we'd also love to invite you to fill out the connection card on the Northwoods app. We talk about it every Sunday. You can pull out your phone, open up the app, fill out the connection card. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can be praying for you. And again, there's always a place in the connection card where you can, if you have any questions about anything, we would love to answer those for you. Well, we're super excited today because this kind of is a surge weekend here at Northwoods. We have several of our surge partners here with us at Northwoods. And if you're new, Surge is who we partner with to plant churches all around the world. In fact, we have a vision here at Northwoods to see every chair in this auditorium today represent a church planted somewhere. And so you'll see on the backs of the chair backs, you'll see those gold plaques. Those represent churches that have been planted all around the world. And super exciting, if you're sitting in this section right here, this is section 300, the back of every chair in that section now has a plaque on it representing a church planted somewhere. Again, that is thanks in part to your faithful giving, Northwoods. We're so thankful for your giving. Again, you can always give online, northwoods.church/give. You can give in the back of the room, many different places you can give. And again, your giving goes also to help fund and resource church planters around the world. So thank you for your giving. Now, in a minute, you're going to get to hear from the operations director at Surge, Ben DeBale. He's a friend of Northwoods, and he's going to come share an update with us about what's happening at Surge. But before he does that, we want to show you a quick video of some of the pastors in the field who you have helped to resource. So check out the screens.
Hola a todos, my name is James Percival. I'm the regional director for Surge for Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean. And I wanna thank Northwoods Church for all that you guys are doing in my zone. You guys have planted churches throughout every one of our countries of Central America, Mexico, and even in the Caribbean. And you're making an impact around the world, and we're super grateful for all that you're doing.
Dios le bendiga.
Bendiciones.
Muchos saludos y bendiciones.
Gracias. Gracias.
Thank you, Northwood Church, for your support. We appreciate it. God bless you.
I want to thank the members of Northwood Church for their support.
In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Amen. I'm hoping this year to plant many churches in the nation of India. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you for all your support. I truly believe that by planting, we are actually extending the kingdom of God.
Northwood Church, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. By the grace of God, now we have our own building.
Thank you, Northwood Church. Thank you.
Dios les bendiga, hermanos, y gracias por todo su apoyo.
A la iglesia Northwood y a sus pastores que han hecho posible
I am so happy to let you know that within 2021, last year, we are able to plant 35 brand new churches.
Merci à Northwood Church pour tout ce qu'ils font pour l'œuvre du Seigneur.
Thank you very much for supporting and praying for our church planters, and we believe together we will accomplish more. There are many church planters waiting in Indonesia to do church planting. God bless you.
Thank you!
Come on, give it up. Isn't that awesome? Just love seeing all of those faces. Yeah, like John was saying, every single one of those churches sent a personal video message because you directly helped fund their church plant. And I just want to reiterate their gratitude. Thank you so much on behalf of Surge for all you guys are doing to really impact the world with the gospel. My name is Ben DeBell. I'm the operations director. And I get to say a really cool thing. I get to say that on average, Surge plants one church a day somewhere around the world. Every day I wake up, I'm thinking, what country are we planting a church in today? And that's in large part because of the generosity of Northwoods. And that's a lot of churches. But, you know, every church represents an individual pastor who has a story of God calling him to go and plant a church somewhere in the world. You saw from Paulus, who's our regional director in Indonesia, he has a really prolific young church planter. He'll just go out into the villages in Indonesia, and every day on average, he's winning two people to the Lord. And so just a month ago, he called Paulus and said, hey, I just won another person to the Lord who encountered Jesus. He's actually the village Hindu priest. Would you come and help baptize him for us? So Paulus went there and he baptized that Hindu priest who was given a public declaration. I think we have some pictures up on the screen, a public declaration of his faith in Christian garb for all the village. And that has set that little village into holy disarray. Those little 40 families there in the Indonesian village are thinking, what happened to our Hindu priest? And now many of them are coming to the Lord as well. And this is what we're seeing happen all over the world. You know, Paulus, who's in Indonesia, this is in Indonesia, they are a country that they're actually the fourth most populous country in the world. The country's made up of 17,000 islands in that area, and they have over 1,000 earthquakes every year. And Paulus says that sometimes where he is in Bali, he'll sense like a little tremor. And that's like an indication that like this big earthquake is happening somewhere else. And I just got this picture. I got this picture that little stories like this that you get on occasion here or there, they're just but a little tremor of what's really happening, something significant happening on the other side of the world. And I just thought, like, you have set off all of these like supernatural earthquakes all around the world through your giving. And though you might hear a little thing on occasion, a little update here or there, just know that there's so much more happening. I think of the verse John 1 and 5 that says, light shines into darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. And every time we go to plant a church, it's like this clash of light and darkness. And that community is never the same. It's like as a natural earthquake will forever change the landscape of that area. When you go plant a church, like that's like a spiritual earthquake that's forever changing that community. It's disrupting their way of life. And through it, there's salvations and miracles and healings and restorations and transformations. Forever that landscape is different from what you guys have done. So take this little story, because I only have one to share with you today, as just but a faint tremor of all that you're doing around the world, which is really significant. And it's not just what's happening around the world, but it's also what's happening with you and your heart. And so we actually have a video of one of you that caught the grander vision for church planting. And I really want you to open up your hearts and put yourself in her shoes as you watch.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we wrote a check, basically. We contributed money. But we couldn't have done that on our own, and there's no way we could have transformed a community on our own. We've been in and out of Peoria a lot, but in that, we've had so many new church homes along the way. That really triggered a love for international brethren. You don't have to speak the same language to just have a connection with someone. When we left England and moved to the U.S. or moved back, I really felt like I needed more challenge, more God. So I started taking online classes through a different school, and it left me kind of just burnt out. I heard that I could switch to Northwood School of Ministry and still complete a master's degree. And then it just made sense. It was just like, yes, church planting, that is the heart of the Great Commission. That's what we want. We want to go and make disciples. What better than to just take a commission from Jesus? He's my great commissioner. And it doesn't have to be that I'm a lead church planter, because I'm not. I'm not going to be a pastor on stage, but that doesn't mean I'm not committed to congregations growing. I always used to think that churches were about us coming to God. But as I read Exodus, I'm learning so much about God coming to his people. Well, with NSM, I have the opportunity to go on a missions trip. And the missions trip to Brazil wasn't so much a missionary trip like you normally think of. This was for our benefit, because we were going to see how ministry partners do church planting well. The ILAN, the Island Church Network, it's kind of run by Philip Murdoch. They taught us a lot about setting a culture in your church about sending, ascending culture. And that's what NSM is really kind of after, is to like find people in the congregation that say, yeah, I want to plant a church. I want to go, and not just stay comfortable in our seats here at Northwoods, but to take Northwoods and reproduce it in other campuses. Pastor Nelson, he signed up to be a search church. It was kind of random how we chose him, or God put him on our heart. We got to meet him and his wife, and we saw their building. It was their first building. They had actually grown out of their first building. They had, I think, 30 to 40 people, and they were too big already. Their congregation had grown out. But he wanted us to come see their first building, because they turned that into a dream center. I gave him a hug, and it just, the emotions came over me that, oh my goodness, he did something I could never do. He reached this little community. He has changed that community. There are a lot of gangs and a lot of violence, a lot of guns in that community, and they're gone because Jesus came, the church came, and the gangs have moved. They've left the community. So it's a lot, it's amazing transformation of what God can do when he comes into a community.
Come on, Northwoods, what do you say about that, huh? Great to see you guys today, and to be emphasizing that church planting culture, to have Serge with us today. Ben, what a great update. I'm sitting over there going, there are people all over the world shouting our names, saying thank you. Isn't that awesome, huh? And I say thank you as well. It's not lost on me today that I'm 4 weeks away from handing off the lead pastor baton to my son, John. We're going to be talking about that the whole month of March. But while I will not always be your lead pastor, I will always be your founding pastor, and you can't do anything about that, all right? And that just means that as the founding pastor, as I step back, I'm just becoming a father in the house, that every time I'm here, I'm going to be wagging the finger at the kids saying, you need to remember something. And here's one of the things I want you to remember. That this church should always be known for growth, or what I call 3D growth. We should be growing up in Christ, right? We could go to passage after passage. We're to become like Jesus. So we're to help you grow up in Christ. So we should be growing up. We should be growing out, which means we should be reaching more and more and more people around us all the time. And this place should be packed. John, I didn't get to see the dream of the, I saw it at Christmas times, but 9,000 attending on Sundays, okay? Until we get there,
That's been a dream in my heart. And those of you watching online, hey, the mask mandate is over. If you can get here, come on in the house. Fill it up. We're somewhere, if everybody would come, we're somewhere around that 8,000 or 9,000 now. But we rally the troops. We're going to be growing more. We're going to be reaching, we're going to be growing out. We're going to be reaching more and more people. So we should be growing up, growing out, and growing more. And that just simply means planting more and more churches. We were kind of late to that party, but I am so glad that in 2017, we hitched up with Surge. We have now planted 837 Surge churches on our way to planting 3,000 by 2030. Guys, that means somewhere in the world today, I just learned this week, I can multiply by a multiple of 85, right, Ben? That means there's around 71,000 elsewhere in the world who are directly connected to Northridge through our church planting efforts. Now, guys, we are funding 100 of those churches every year from now to 2030 out of the budget. So every dollar you give is helping to plant churches, all right? But that we're to plant 300 a year. That means I just need 200 individuals or groups of individuals to say, I'm going to own planting one church a year till 2030, all right? Susan and I are doing that. Whether we're here or not, we're going to be planting our church at least one a year. And I just need 200 people who will say, we're going to do that. We're going to see that there are 300 planted every year. Now, here's what's happened, though. Now that we're planting 100 out of our budget every year, those don't have an individual prayer partner. You know, when you plant your church, you get a certificate, you get the name, you get to pray for those people. We have at the Northwood School of Ministry out here today. I want you to go by there, learn more about how you can be a part of planting churches here at home, or if you want to be a part of planting churches abroad, they're out there to help you understand anything you need to understand. But we have 40 names of people we've planted who need prayer partners. I want to make sure that Craig doesn't have one of those names left today. So if you're a prayer warrior, get out there and pick up a name and begin to pray for that pastor that you just saw. You know, there are at least 40 of them that need our covering today, okay? Can I hear an amen? All right, you're going to do that. All right, now, the rest of this day, you saw Elon, which is a church in Brazil. The fellow who's all about Elon is with us today. Philip and his wife Renee was here 4 years ago to talk about, I interviewed her about getting beaten within an inch of her life on a Brazilian beach a few years back. In fact, she loves to pray for people. So if you got a prayer need after the service, you come down and let Renee minister to you along with our prayer team today. But I met Philip, I was telling him today, somewhere between 2006 2007 at the Statue of the Christ in Brazil. Northwoods, we had opened up the Global Leadership Summit in Brazil in 2004, and I was traveling every summer to do some training with pastors, and I meet Philip Murdoch, who I know is connected to Baton Rouge and the United States somehow, but I was telling him all about E4, which was kind of new, that we want to see people encounter Jesus in the fullness of his love and power. And then they need to be established in the word. And then they need to be trained, equipped in the gifts of the Spirit and this type of thing, which has led to our doing what Jesus did. You know, all these classes that are equipping people so that they can engage the world. And I met him there in 2007. And then it was in 2017. When we were first engaged with Equip, I was in an Equip room, and they are talking about their regional directors, and when they talked about Brazil, there's Philip Murdoch. And I walk up to him, and I go, Philip, I met you at the Statue of the Christ like 10 years ago. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't ever remember. I'm like, I'm glad I was that impressionable, you know? And I said, Statue of the Christ. And then he goes, E4. And he had it. And I'll tell you, Philip is still working for Surge. He's no longer the regional director, but he is still working for Surge. When we go to Brazil, we'll be working with Philip. I'm so glad that he's here to share his heart about how to build this church planting culture. I want you to give him a warm Northwoods welcome today. Philip, come on, deliver the goods, man.
Thank you. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hello. It's great. Really, really great to be here. Thanks so much, Pastor Cal. Thank you so much, Pastor John and Michaela. Wanted you guys to see my wife, Renee. Can you stand up, Renee? It's so great to travel with Renee. Really, really great being here. We're down in Florida, and the weather is a little different down there from here. And we're from Rio. I was born in Rio. The weather in Rio is very different from down here also. It's summer down there. It's summer down there. Do you want me to use this? Yeah. It's summer down there in Rio. And hot, about 100 degrees down there. And so when we got out of the hotel this morning, wow, big difference. And so we're learning what it's like over here. But wanted to just really say thank you, especially to you guys at Northwoods, because since we began our relationship with you guys, we began our relationship with you guys started coming down to Rio, and you guys really helped us. You guys were a massive game changer in our church. And I know that you guys have been a game changer across the world. I think you will have planted thousands of churches eventually around the world. I think 800 churches so far. And in our church, when you guys started investing and coming down and building a relationship with us, our church, when you guys began the relationship with us, our church was about 250 people. And today our church is about 3,700 people in the last 5 years. You guys invested in significant strategic churches in Rio. And those churches have grown in an amazing way. And the reason I love church planting, Pastor Craig asked me to preach about church planting culture. The reason I love church planting is when you plant a church, you affect the area completely. If you think about your church, this whole area has completely changed because of your church. Isn't that true? Everything around this area has completely been transformed because of your church. The same thing with every church that is planted. I was watching those little videos about the churches that are being planted in Indonesia and in Pakistan and India. Every single church that is planted is completely affecting everything around them. It is amazing what happens. I have a little video of an area that was affected because of our church, because of the churches that you planted with us. Recently, 1 week ago, there was a massive flooding that happened about 90 minutes away from our church. And because of the churches that you planted with us, we just naturally, our church naturally said, well, we've got to do something. Now, one of the things that our church has done is we planted the Dream Center and we gathered a bunch of people. So just a quick video of what naturally occurs when you plant a church. Why don't we watch this video? Thank you. Amen. Because you plant a church, the whole community's changed. That happens all the time. Because of the churches that we planted through you guys, because of that, we've started a school, and then we started another school. Now we've started 8 schools because of the churches you guys have planted through us. Because of the churches you planted through us, we started a dream center, and then we started another dream center. Now there are 3 dream centers. And because of that, we're reaching 500 kids every week through all kinds of courses. It's amazing. We're training people how to get out of unemployment. We're training them how to build sheetrock and how to paint and how to do welding, all kinds of things we're doing, because it is the natural extension of planting a church. So what is missions? Missions is church planting. So I really just wanted to come and say thank you to you guys for that. And really what I wanted to say is that everybody is called to church planting. You are called to church planting. And you know, I'm so humbled to come here and talk to you about a church planting culture, because you guys do have a church planting culture. You are a church planting culture. And you know, a church planting culture can be so many things. You know, it can involve money, and you guys have given so much. It can involve training, and you have the School of Ministry, and that's amazing. And it can involve motivation. And so if there's one thing I can do today, you know, I didn't bring any money to give out, and, you know, I didn't bring much training. I think you guys really have that. But if I can just kind of talk to you a little bit about motivation, because I think that each one of you, maybe you can do something that isn't only money and that isn't only being involved with training. Maybe that there's something else that you guys can specifically be involved in church training, in church planting. When I was a kid, I remember I was with my cousin once, and we were standing on a bridge, and we were looking down this river, and we were racing paper boats. And I remember we were throwing paper boats in this river, and we were watching to see whose paper boat was gonna go further down the river. Have anyone done that? And so the interesting thing is that So often, my paper boat would, as it would go around the corner, it would get stuck, and my cousin would always win, and it really would irritate me. But sometimes I think that our calling, we get excited about our calling, about church planting or whatever you think your calling is. But sometimes over time, our calling kind of gets stuck halfway down the way. And what I want to do today is maybe kind of get your calling unstuck just a little bit. Unstuck. You know, Jesus preached, and in Matthew 22, verse 14, he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So many times people talk about that and what it means to be chosen. I just want to talk to you a little bit about being called. It says many are called. And today, you know, if you'd let me, maybe we could say that we are all called. And we're all called to what? To advance God's kingdom. And in my opinion, we're all called to advance God's kingdom by planting the body of Christ here, abroad, all over the place, by planting churches. We're all called to that. So God's calling is God is calling you today to plant churches here. And I want to kind of explain that to you a little bit. We're all called, and we're all called powerfully. I remember when I was first understood that I was called, I was a college student. I went to a church called Bethany in Baton Rouge. And I stood at the back of this church. It was a really big church, 6,000 seat auditorium. And I was at the back of the auditorium. And the worship was really great, and it was powerful worship, and everyone was kind of dancing, jumping up and down. And it was about 30 years ago, so the speaker system was a little different than nowadays. The speaker system, they only had speakers at the front. So at the back of the church, the people that were jumping up and down at the front of the church heard the beat a little bit earlier than the people at the back. So when I was at the back of the church and I was watching the people jump, the people at the front of the church were jumping just a little bit earlier than the people at the back of the church. So to me, it looked like waves of heads were jumping. And so I was at the back of the church. It looked like waves of heads. As people were jumping to the music, the waves, the people at the front were jumping early, and it looked like waves. And God spoke to me clearly, and he said, Philip, I want you to go back to Brazil. I was from Brazil. And I want you to plant a church that raises leaders, that plants churches, 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 that raises leaders. And as those people, the waves were coming, that's what I heard God say. And I just, you know, the emotion that hit me was, wow, wow. God would choose me to do something so great. And let me tell you something. I think God is choosing you to do great things in church planting today. But sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we miss the calling. Sometimes we get excited and our boat just takes off down that river, but it gets hung up halfway. And Jesus also told a parable about the sower. Let me read this passage a little longer, and then we'll talk about it. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 through 23, verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Those four types of ground, to me, refer to the four ways that sometimes we let our boat on that river get hung up, and we miss out on the great things that God has been calling us to do. You know, the rocky ground, the rocky ground is kind of like short-lived excitement. And to me, you know, when I heard that calling, I went back to Brazil to plant a church that raised leaders, that planted churches that raised leaders. And I went back to Brazil, and the first year I started the church, and we grew to 100 people pretty quickly. And then immediately I started another church. I didn't have any money. I just had 100 chairs and a microphone. I didn't have any idea how to plant churches, really no idea. It was Surge was just beginning. I went down there actually before Surge. I went down in 2000. And I didn't have any idea, but I planted another church because that was what God had put in my heart. And I was so excited about it. And then I went to preach at a friend's church in São Paulo. And I was just so excited. You know, God's called me to plant a church. And I planted this church. And we got 100 people coming. And I've already planted another church. And I started talking to him about this. And he looked at me and he said, "Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you planting a church? Why are you planting another church? There are already churches there. Why are you doing that? Are you prideful?" And let me just tell you something a little. I'm Brazilian, but I'm also British. And the thing about British people is, you know, they have a huge pride, but it's like inverted pride. You know, if you call a British person prideful, they're going to prove to you that they're not prideful. So that's like the inverse of pridefulness, you know. And so It talks about the excitement, the short-lived excitement, but the rocky ground refers to persecution, and that word got into my heart, and I put the brakes on everything. I put the brakes on everything, and sometimes I think that maybe God has spoken to some of you guys about great things He had plan for your life, maybe years ago, maybe decades ago, something that had excited you guys about things that He had planned for your life, and that over time, maybe something got that boat hung up in that river, and you saw that boat go down and just got hung up in the brush or something. Maybe God wants to set it free today and let your calling begin to take wings and begin to fly. That's what happened to me, and I just got so upset, and for about 10 years, I kind of put the brakes on what God had called me to do. I, you know, because of that that word that got spoken into my heart. It was a sad thing. Our church went, we grew to 100, and then we stayed at around between 100 and 200 for 15 years, and we did very, very little. I did some stuff with Surge, but never in our own ministry, always working through other partners. In our own ministry, we didn't do very much for about 15 years. It was sad. The next soil that we see is the thorns, which are like the worries. You know, people that hear the call, but the thorns grew up and began to suffocate the call. And those are worries, the things that worry. And for me, I had massive worries also. My worries were that I had inadequacies. I was for 15 years, I was worried about my inadequacies. And really, it's a very common worry also. I was very, very clear about my calling. The experience I had at Bethany, where I was right at the back, I mean, no one can take that away from me. I was clear that God had called me to plant a church that raised up leaders, that planted churches that raised up leaders. I was very clear about that. But I was very, very concerned that I was not able to do it. I was so, so scared that I couldn't preach and so scared that I couldn't lead. I was massively afraid about that. So, and it's so clear in the Bible, so many people are like that. Moses was like that. You know, Moses had no denial about his calling. He knew that God had called him. He had that burning bush experience. But at the same time, anytime anybody else that could do anything halfway good, Moses would say, you know, let Aaron do it. You know, he could speak better. Moses was constantly trying to step back and let somebody else do things instead of him. And that was me. I was exactly doing that. And it stifled me. It got my boat in that river constantly getting caught up. And I think that maybe some of you guys, you know that God has called you to do something. It's embryonic there in your heart. And that boat, you were excited in the past. That boat started going down that river, but it got caught up in the brush somewhere. And then you started thinking, well, you know, Pastor Cal, he's so much better than me. Pastor John's so much better than me. This person is leading this. And you began to step back and constantly letting somebody else do something else, constantly saying, you know, they're better than I can't do it. And constantly allowing the worries about your inadequacies, stifling what God wants to do through you. The next soil we see is the pathway. You know, the pathway is the prophetic soil that God wants to plant you in, where you're going to produce great fruit, plant new churches, be a part of church planting teams here or abroad or wherever it is. And the final soil is the pathway. And the pathway is where Satan, the birds, come and eat that right away. It's the people that are kind of hear the call, but they're kind of deaf. They hear the call, but they're kind of deaf. The people that hear God call them, but because they are deaf, they're concerned about what God can do for them and not so much what they can do for God. Let me just tell you something here. God can do everything you need, but he has something great. An opportunity for you. Look at this verse. You know this verse, Matthew 6:33, amazing verse. My favorite verse in the Bible, a verse that I live. And it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you seek his kingdom, what is his kingdom? The things, the advancement of his body of Christ. What is his kingdom? To me, his kingdom is church planting and his righteousness. When you seek church planting, when you seek being a part of church planting, and then all the other things that you need are going to be added to you. And in my life, it's amazing what God has done for me. It's crazy how God has blessed me. I have four children. I sent them all up to Dallas to study, and now they're all coming back to work with me in the church. It's amazing. So I just wanted to give you three practical steps of what you can do to be a part of church planting, other than just giving, other than praying, but three practical steps of what you can do to be a part of church planting, the first thing you can do to be a part of church planting is allow a burning desire in your heart. Maybe you can go. Maybe you can be a part of a team. Maybe you can join the School of Ministry, the Northwood School of Ministry. Maybe you can be a part of the new semester of the Northwood School of Ministry. Look at this verse in Ephesians 4:16. It says, "For him the whole body, joined and held together." Amazing two words. Amazing two words because they're words that have to do with civil engineering. They're words that have to do about construction of homes. The words that have to do of two wooden members being put together, cut out, and compacted together. But the part I want to show you, it says, supporting ligaments grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. God has an amazing part in church planting for you, not just giving, but please continue to give, but also an amazing part for you to be involved in. Maybe you could be a part of a team somewhere around here. Maybe there'll be an opportunity for another church plant for you to go. Maybe you're not the senior pastor, but maybe you can be a part of a launch of a team of a new church. The second part, the second thing, which is a bit controversial, is look at this one. This is a bit controversial. Maybe you have been very, very faithful. Maybe you say, "Hey, listen, I'm faithful where I'm at. I'm serving. I'm doing a great job, and I'm really faithful where I'm at." Maybe you are so faithful where you're at that you're not realizing that God has been trying to promote you. Let me say that again. Maybe you're so faithful that you are stuck in a position and you're so faithful at what you're doing that you haven't realized that God has been trying to figure out a way to tell you, "Hey, listen, I'm trying to promote you." And because of your faithfulness where you're at, God has not only not been able to promote you, but he's trying to promote other people to where you are, and he can't get other people promoted because you're clogging up the works. You know, we had a person in our church. One of the ministries in our church is the coffee shop. It's a voluntary ministry. And this ministry, it's a really, food is a real important part of the Brazilian culture. So in this coffee shop, the lady that started it, she was one of the founding members of the church, and she's like the queen of the coffee shop. She's the queen of the coffee shop. And she'd been in there 15 years, and I was so thankful for her because she was so faithful, and she'd been there. She never missed, ever. She never missed. She was running it. She was there, and she had her two helpers, you know, that would do everything. They would do everything. And then we had our new members class, and in our new members class, we taught, you know, God wants to use you. God has great things for you. And one of the new members that came in, she had a bakery, and she was just so excited about helping in the coffee shop, in our coffee shop. And so she went up to the queen of the coffee shop, and she said, "Hey," she was so excited, brand new, you know, first week in the church. And she said, "Wow, you know, can I help? Can I help?" And the queen said, "Sure, you can buy yourself a chocolate chip cookie." And she said, "Oh, okay. How much is it?" It's a dollar, five reais. And she said, "Okay, here it is." And she said, "Well, can I do anything else?" And she said, "Sure, you can buy another one and give it to someone else." And she said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "You know, I make really good muffins." And she said, the queen said, "Well, at our church, we do chocolate chip cookies. We don't do muffins." "Oh, okay. Is there anything else I can do to help?" "Sure, come back next week and buy another chocolate chip cookie." And that excitement totally deflated. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God wants has a promotion for your life. And because you're not hearing the promotion, there are a whole bunch, about 20 other people that need to be promoted, and you're clogging everything up. and maybe it's time to hear the great things and the next step that God has for you. Maybe it's time to hear the next step that God has for you. Maybe being a part of a church planting, of a church planting team. And the final thing, the final key is try something new. You know, we have a, I have a, finish with this story here. I had a, my right hand when I started the church, a real son in the faith. His name is Elton. Actually, his name is Elton John. You know, for the life of me, I can't figure out why a mother would call her son Elton John. But anyway, his name is Elton John. I hired him as a gardener, and then I ordained him as a pastor. And he began working for us. He worked at our church for 10 years. And one of our schools that we started was an international school, and we had American teachers, and he ended up marrying one of these American teachers. They had a kid, and then they decided to move back to the States, and he lives in Florida. And so when he went back to Florida, his heart is totally pastoral. He is a pastor. But when he moved back to Florida, both him and I were worried about what was his ministry going to be like when he lived in Florida. How was that going to work out? And he went back to Florida, and for the first 4 years, he was frustrated because he couldn't fit in, you know, because he felt, man, I'm called to ministry. I'm called to full-time ministry, and you know, and this church doesn't realize that I'm called to full-time ministry. I don't have any opportunities here, and so he got a job washing cars and parking cars at a car dealership, and on the weekends, he would cut grass, and his wife worked at a school. And so he was just frustrated, you know, God, you know, what are you doing? You know, how come I'm not in full-time ministry? Why can't I preach? And I tried with some of my friends. I had some friends near where he lived and tried to get him connected, but nothing ever worked out. And he moved from one church, then spent a couple of years in one church, and they didn't work out. And then he spent a couple of years at another church, and it didn't work out. And he was so frustrated. And then at a lunch I had with him about 2 weeks ago, he said, God spoke to him and he said, you are full-time. He said, Elton, you are full-time in ministry. You're a full-time pastor and you're a full-time Christian. Get your act together. And when he heard that, his whole mentality changed. His whole mentality changed, and he realized, hey, I am. And so what he did, he went back and he said, man, I'm gonna be a church planter here in my own church. And so he began inviting everybody to the church. He asked the car dealership he was at if he could borrow a van, and he began inviting 20 people at a time to church. And he'd get this van and he'd bring in 20 people from work or wherever, and he'd start inviting them and he'd say, listen, I really would love for you to come to church. And they would say, well, when? And he said, in 3 months' time. And so he'd invite them in 3 months' time so they couldn't say no. So, you know, he'd set a special day. Well, what is the special occasion? It's a Sunday. You know, there was no special occasion. He'd just invent it. But he'd set a special occasion. And then he'd invite 30, he'd bring 20 people and 30 people. And so much so that the executive pastor of the church started noticing all these people he was inviting. And they, you know, who is this Elton John? You know, what is this guy? Elton, they had a way of identifying who was inviting who, and everyone was being invited by Elton John. It seemed like a joke, you know. Who is? And so finally, he called him up and said, you know, Elton, do you know that you bring more people to the church than any other method of bringing people to the church than we have? More than all our Facebook ads, more than every other method, you bring more people than everything else we have. And he said, is that right? He said, yeah. Tell me about you. And so he said that he was a pastor. He said he worked for us in Brazil, and he was a pastor for 10 years. And Elton told the whole story. And so eventually, they developed a bit of a relationship. And eventually, that church invited him to speak, which is a miracle because he doesn't speak English very well at all, you know. But they invited him to speak, church of about 1,000 in Florida. They invited him to speak, and then he thought, wow, this is my opportunity, because he had been praying about winning his next door neighbor, but he hadn't actually ever spoken to her. And so he'd been secretly cutting her grass, because he has a grass cutting company as well. So he'd been secretly cutting her grass. When she traveled, she would come back and her grass would cut. And so she came and knocked on his door and said, Elton, did you cut my grass? And he said, yes, is that okay? Sorry. And she said, yeah, but I need to pay you. And he said, no, you don't need to pay me. I'm cut my grass. I'm going to cut yours too. No. And then eventually when he got invited to speak, he knocked on her door and he said, I was invited to speak at my church. It's a big honor. Would you come and visit? And so she said, she couldn't say no, right? So she said, yes. When is it? He said, it's in 6 months' time. You know, American churches have very planned out events. And so she said, okay. And so he made her put it down on her calendar. And then 5.5 months went by. And then he planned a party at his house the week before he was supposed to speak. And he invited everybody, all the key people, leaders from his church, to his house, the pastor and the associate pastor and some small group leaders. And he invited 30 of them to his house. And the only person that wasn't from his church was his neighbor. And he invited her. And then the week before, and they had a party, and so he introduced her to all the people from his church. You know, this is this person, this is this person. And then when she came to the church the next weekend, she already knew everybody from the church. And so then at the church, she told him, wow, I love your church. She got saved, and she became a part of the church. Let me tell you something. You are a full-time church planter, whether you like it or not. That's what God has called you to do right here, right now, here at Northwoods, or a part of another church plant. I don't know where it is, but God has called you. That is God's calling. That is seeking first the kingdom of God. When you put that first, all your other things, all the other concerns you have are gonna be added unto you. So I wanna pray for you today that God is gonna get your paper boat that is on that river and gonna set it free, and it's gonna go down and reach the destiny that God has for it. Is that okay? Why don't you close your eyes there where you are? Father, I thank you so much for this amazing, amazing church, Lord, that is doing so many things around the world, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for Northwoods, Lord, and the influence. Thousands of churches directly planted, Lord, and thousands more indirectly planted because of those, Father. I pray, Lord God, that today, Lord, you would baptize hundreds of people, Lord God, with a desire to do church planting here or abroad, Lord God, in their hearts, Lord God, that you would spark a desire, Lord God, for them to plant churches themselves, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Philip, wife Renee, thank you. Pastor Philip, thank you for the deposit you just made in our church. And Church Northwoods, again, I know this time of year we start thinking about warmer weather and we start hoping for warmer weather, right? As you're doing that, whenever you think about warmer weather, I want you to think about Pastor Philip and Renee down the warm weather in Rio. And I want you to be praying for them and their church down there and what God is doing to their church as he multiplies all that they're doing through their church and church planting down in Rio. So thank you again. And church, if you want to learn more about our Northwood School of Ministry, about Surge, how you can partner, we're going to have a table out in the back of the in the lobby at the back of the auditorium there as you go out the door. So if you'd like to learn more, we'd love to have you stop by. Now, for a minute, before we leave here, I want to talk to you just briefly about March, because March is coming, and as you know, March is really going to be a celebration month here at Northwoods as we celebrate Pastor Cal and Susan. So I want you to put a couple of dates on your calendar coming up. March 4th, 11th, and the 18th. Those are Fridays in March, 4, 11, 18, at 6 p.m. We're going to be hosting open houses here at Northwoods, and we are really doing those for your benefit because we want you to be able to have a personal moment with Pastor Cal and Susan before they kind of move on for the next 9 months. Again, they'll be back in 2023. But 4, 11, and 18, you can register online at northwoods.church/readyfornext. Again, we would love to have you come out and have a personal moment with Pastor Cal. And then on Sunday, March 13th, I think it's at 2 p.m., Discoveryland is going to be having kind of a celebration party for my mom, for Susan. And if you've been blessed by my mom's ministry over the years in Discoveryland, we would love to have you come out and just celebrate with her and let her know what kind of, just the blessing that she's been to your life. So that's coming up on March 13th. That's a Sunday at 2 p.m. And then also want to let you know that March 20th and 27th, we're going to have one service. So on March 20th, we're going to have one service at 10 a.m. It's not going to be two services. That's kind of the commissioning. And then 27 will be a celebration service here at Northwoods, and it will also be one service at 10 a.m. We're doing those one time because it's kind of hard to recreate what's going to happen in those moments. So I just want you to have those on your calendars. Again, hope you can join us for all those dates in March. If you haven't registered for an open house, go ahead and do that. Love for you to have a moment with Pastor Cal. So again, church, thanks so much for being here today. If you need prayer for anything, we'll have a prayer team down front, and we would love to pray with you. Hope to see you back next Sunday. Have a great week. Northwoods Online, thanks so much again for tuning in with us. Always a blessing to have you tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about Surge and our Northwoods School of Ministry, you can find all those things on our website, northwoods.church. Love to have you guys with us. Have a great week.
Awesome. That was so good to hear from Philip and just see the videos that they shared and whatnot. And again, it is so cool. And I hope that you guys know that it's just a special thing for us to be on mission for spreading the gospel far and wide. And so again, we just want to say that if that is something, if you felt, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit giving you a nudge in your heart to participate in Surge and church planting in some way, I encourage you to check out our website. And again, there are ways that if you don't have the $3,000 to plant one church right now, that's okay. Yep. And there are so many other ways for you to participate. There are the prayer packets that we can offer to you if you are interested in those. And you can always join in on crowdfunding a church. You know, I was just talking to somebody who literally by crowdfunding and just committing to giving a small amount of money every month, they've been able to participate in tens of church plants, which is just so cool. That's so awesome. If you want to participate in that, again, visit that link on your screen and get more information there.
Well, and remember, March is coming up. Next week, we're going to be kicking off that final series with Pastor Cal, and all the different activities and events are going on. So be sure to go to the website, find out about all the details. And if you're around local, join us. We would love to have you here sending him off on his transition.
Yes.
So,
yeah, these are weekends that you are not going to want to miss. They're going to be so special and such a fun time celebrating and honoring Pastor Cal. So thank you so much for being here today. We will see you next week.